Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting from the Santa Fe Baking Company and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We are podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show anytime thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, and you can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. And we're opening today with music of Perla Batalla, whom we'll be talking to in just a moment.
Deje que las estrellitas me llenen de inspiración para decirte cositas muy bonitas, corazón. Yo sé que no hay en el mundo amor como el que me das, y sé que noche tras noche va creciendo.
I'm very happy now to welcome Perla Batalla. She is a Grammy-nominated vocalist, composer, and arranger, and she will be performing tonight at the Lensic at 7 in the evening. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much.
So you grew up basically in a record shop. Your father and mother ran Discoteca Batalla.
That's right. When most kids my age, I grew up in Los Angeles, and I thought we were such a strange family because my friends would come home and, you know, their moms would be waiting for them, and I would imagine, cookies, plates of cookies and wearing pearls and stuff. And we would have to go to the record shop because that's where my parents were. And we would do our homework there. And my parents would put us to work there. And we cleaned, you know, then those days are the album days, of course. So there are racks and racks of these gigantic albums. And so we'd dust everything. And we had a working family. We all worked at the record shop. And my dad was a singer. But it was through that experience that I realized that those were my early musical education days, and that music stayed with me forever.
Now, was this primarily Latin
Mexican
music?
It was Mexican. My family is, my father is Mexican and loved the his music, of course. He's very, very proud, and he was a mariachi singer himself. So mostly that's his expertise, was the Mexican music, you know, mariachis and trios and boleros and all the great composers of the Spanish language. And then they branched off into having a little bit more of the Cuban salsa, and there were lots of great singers coming out of Spain. So started mixing it up a little bit near the end of the days of the record shop.
And so your customers were immigrants from those countries,
from Mexico
and others.
Especially Mexico. I mean, it really was. We were on the border of Santa Monica and Venice, so my mother was like sort of the liaison between these people that came to our store, immigrants, and their families. She would help them write letters. She would help them, you know, send money. She, all those things that are much easier to do now, but back then were more difficult. And so she was known as the kind of the maternal figure to a lot of people.
I have often, because one of the things I do besides interview people like you is do Latin music shows, and I used to DJ in clubs, and I started to realize that I think it affects your soul if you grow up on boleros.
Oh, so true. So well said. Boleros, yeah. There's something so delicious and romantic and pure about them, you know, and a love song. I mean, really, how can you go wrong? I think that most songs that I think of that are my favorites are all about love.
And somehow, I don't know how they did this, because we don't seem to be able to pull it off very well in English, but they're all these things you said, delicious and pure and romantic, and yet not goofy or schmaltzy.
And I can attribute that to the Spanish language. There are things that can be said in Spanish that simply do not translate. And it is, to me, one of the most gorgeous languages in the world, and I hear it everywhere, and not just in Spanish-speaking countries. I hear Spanish spoken absolutely everywhere I go. Switzerland, you know, Ohio. You just think of any place on the map, and Spanish is spoken there. So anytime I go to do an outreach concert for kids, say, and we do a lot of these, I say, do not lose your Spanish. In my family, my brothers lost their Spanish. My sister and I, so we were the oldest. And then my parents really, you know, just encouraged us to assimilate and get in there really fast with the English and let's learn it. And then we could help them with their business and translating for them. So because of that, my brothers, my younger brothers, don't speak Spanish. And there's a whole generation of Latinos that don't speak Spanish, which is okay too. But if you have it, keep it. And if you don't know it, learn it. Because it's a gorgeous language. And it's poetry. It's like built for poetry.
Yeah. So did you get your the musical influence from your Argentine mother?
Well, that's also a very funny story because when I was growing up, my mother told everyone she was Mexican. When I was a little girl, I thought my mother was Mexican. And she is blonde hair, blue-eyed. And I should have, you know, been suspect of her early on. But I realized that when we went to a deli and she started speaking to someone behind the counter in German, that something was up. And I asked her about it. And she said, she confessed that she was actually from Argentina. But when she fell in love with my father, she thought that the Mexican culture was the most amazing, interesting culture, full of passion and soul and color, that she started saying to everyone that she lost her Argentine accent, spoke Mexican Spanish, which is different. And in my show, I actually do a little demonstration of what the difference is. I won't do it now. So some of you will have to come to the show just to hear that. But and it wasn't until 3 years ago that I went back with my family. And my mother, I said, I have enough frequent flyer miles to take you first class back to Buenos Aires to see your family again. And she would not go. She said she just felt like she would die of a broken heart because her mother is not there anymore. And, you know, she just thinks everything would be too different for her to deal with. So we went anyway, my husband and my daughter and I, and met the family and spent a month with them. And it was the most beautiful month of my life, realizing I have another world completely opening up to me.
Right.
And learning the songs of Mercedes Sosa and the tango. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, so I felt like this was a gift in my life and in my musical life especially.
Your father was somebody who could imitate the accent of and the way of speaking of anybody in all over Latin America.
Anybody. And I remember watching him at a dinner party, sitting at the table and doing these monologues in his different accents. And he was so funny. You know, he's a very tortured man in many ways. And, you know, not to generalize, but it suffered a lot from what a lot of Hispanic men suffer in our culture. And it's, first of all, coming to this country, I think, was somehow demeaning to him. He was very, very dark, almost like a black man. And I think that the racism really got to him. It made him suffer a lot, and he turned to drinking. And it brought the family down in many, many ways. In other ways, I think it made me stronger because I had to really confront that disease early on. And so I was very careful for the rest of my life not to delve into those things that I knew could stop my life or stop this process that I, this road that I'm on. But he was so gifted, is so comedically gifted, and sometimes the most tortured people are. But my beautiful brother, who's so talented, has taken, I mean, he was in those footsteps. He's really funny. I mean, he's not the tortured part, thank goodness. He's actually found a peaceful place with his demons. But he's very, very gifted and funny. And also, he did his first dramatic role on Cold Case, which will be on November 1st. And I want everyone to watch it.
What's his name?
Rick Bataya.
Rick Bataya.
Yeah, and he's absolutely fabulous. And he's always only done comedic roles, and now this is his first dramatic role, and he said he'll never do anything else.
So, family of performers.
No, just my brother and I.
Well, that's a lot. But I think something that a lot of, what would you say, Norte Americanos don't know is how incredibly diverse the music of Mexico is. There are folkloric traditions from every part of Mexico, and some of them show up in the albums that you do.
Some of them do, by accident, a lot of times, because, you know, I certainly would never say that I am, you know, particularly versed in all the, you know, music styles of Mexico. Because there are so many, and they can be very particular. And I couldn't tell you what the particular sound is from Veracruz or, you know, what makes the ranchera, what rhythms or particular, you know, style points there are to focus on in those songs. I just know they're kind of in my blood, and they come out, whether I want it to or not. It's just there. So
did you grow up dancing as well?
Funnily enough, you seem to know a lot more about me than I thought you knew, but you did your homework. I actually was dancing a lot on MTV in my early days.
Is that right?
Yeah, I studied dance, and I did a lot of rock and roll videos and that sort of thing. So I did dance.
So you grew up in the United States in this record shop, versed in this whole variety of Latin American musical traditions, but you were in the United States. What American music, North American music, seeped in and that you liked and that influenced you?
It didn't seep in. I sought it out. Because, of course, as every youngster experiences, you have to take charge of your own person at some point. And that's, I guess, what a lot of people refer to as rebellion. And so I think I rebelled against my roots when I was 15, 13, 14, whatever, however old it was. I rebelled, not in a negative way, but I just said, hey, I want to listen to everything but my traditional family music. So I listened to, I can remember Tom Waits. I listened to opera, musical theater. I loved musical theater. I was an opera freak, actually. A lot of my friends in high school, we were opera people. And swing music. My first professional job was in a swing band. So I listened to all these different genres and jazz and fell in love with the wide variety, the spectrum that was out there to listen to. I really would listen to anything. To this day, I do.
In the various discs that you've put out and in your concerts, there's this, what I feel to be an incredible musical freedom, because it seems like you feel that the whole world is open to you in what you can play, what you can sing, what you can put out there.
I do, actually. And I feel as an artist, once you start feeling like you have to do something, that you're stuck. You know, like the audience expects you to do what you do, and then you just do that. You could die doing that forever. And I can remember some artists that I would go see on a regular basis, some very famous artists that I was fans of, that I was a big fan of, and saying, oh, no, at this point, he's just phoning it in. Or, oh, really? I would expect more. I would expect more courage than that. So, for me, I just love to keep moving and doing different things. You know, for instance, I just finished an album with these brilliant singers, Nika Costa, Fiona Apple, Patty Griffin, Madeline Peru. We are part of all singing new versions of Cy Coleman songs. It's called The Best Is Yet to Come. And it just came out last week or the week before. But it's you can get it on Amazon. And it was done by my friend, the producer, Dave Palmer, who's very edgy and very different. So he took these 40s, 50s songs that are standards and made them relevant to today, to edgy modern music. And so I was thrilled when he called me and said, do you want to be on this record? Of course, I jumped at the chance. And also to allow me to find a way to interpret the song that I was doing to be different from the song that everybody knows how it goes. The melody is stuck in your head the way it was sung, in its first recording. And now it's completely different. And that's kind of what we did with all of the songs. It's very exciting.
Which song do you do?
I do Hey, Look Me Over. Yeah.
Really?
You'll just have to listen so you can,
Oh, that's
see
so
what it's
interesting.
About. Yeah.
We're really talking fun. To Per La Battaglia, and we're going to be doing a ticket giveaway in just a little while, so stay tuned, but don't call yet. You also sang as a backup singer for Leonard Cohen, and you have this incredible disc, which we're going to play a track from in a little while, called Bird on the Wire, The Songs of Leonard Cohen. How did that connection happen?
Well, it was interesting because I think I've said this, and I mean it, that working with Leonard Cohen changed my life. At the time when I met, actually they called me in to audition, and I wasn't really familiar with Leonard's work. At the time I was doing a lot of singing for rock bands on television. I lived in L.A., so, Cheap Trick was coming into town. They say, hey, we need a couple gals to sing backup on this show, and I would go in and do a lot of that kind of thing. So as a backup singer, I was doing really well and making a living and doing what I do. And then a friend of mine calls and says, Leonard Cohen's looking for a backup singer, and your name came up. Can you come audition? tomorrow. And I thought, wow, okay, I better get my homework done. So I went to the record store and bought some cassettes to listen to as many Leonard Cohen songs as I could listen to. And I just said, wow, this is a different realm altogether now. We're talking poetry. This is about poetry. And I totally got it. I was thrilled to even be meeting this man. And that would have actually, at that point, felt like enough to meet him. And I showed up at the audition, and I had thought a lot, long and hard, about what I was going to wear. You know, that's important. First impression's very important. So I remember I was wearing white from head to toe, like white boots even. And I walk into a room, and there's this man who's very handsome and kind of looks like Dustin Hoffman in black. Everything he wore was black. We looked at each other at our clothing and started to laugh. And I just said, this is it. You know, I just love this man. Anyway, I got the call that night that we were going to go on the road, and I had 2 weeks to learn 3 hours of material, and it was intense. But it was beautiful to watch this genius night after night after night. That's actually one of his lyrics, night after night after night. And how he told a story, and how he... So I think I have a lot of my performance chops from Leonard in terms of how you show up and you just are who you are. The moment you walk on that stage, there's no big script, there's no to-do, there's no, you know, pretense.
He's really, in so many ways, the voice of a generation, poetically.
Yeah. I think so, yes.
The lyrics are profound, and you can listen to them for years, really.
They go on forever, and, you know, I've got these tributes that I've sung in to Leonard all over the world. In fact, the movie I'm Your Man that we did about the show that Hal Wilner produced for him, and we traveled that show all over the world. He had different people singing Leonard songs, and everyone brought a different life to each song, and it was all very relevant. I mean, songs that had been written so long ago, maybe even perhaps before some of these artists were born. It was really moving.
You wrote in this disc, Bird on the Wire, that the disc was dedicated to Leonard Cohen, who, in the tradition of another great poet, effectively ruined my life.
Yeah.
What did you mean?
Well, there's no going back. You know, there's no ever. You just can't deliver any less than what you have to deliver. So the stakes, you know, the bar is high. He raised that bar. So no longer could I just sail through my work or it's just not going to be easy. And the reason, that was sort of an inside joke to Leonard, because when we were on the road, he would always refer to Federico Garcia Lorca as having ruined his life.
I was wondering who was the great poet you were referring to. So what are you exploring now? Like, give us a sense of what people might be in for tonight when they come to the Lenzic.
Well, tonight I'm going to do a little bit of everything, because I'm going to do some of my Argentine songs and my tango. And since Mercedes Sosa passed away, and I was lucky enough to see one of her last concerts in Los Angeles.
Wow.
And really such a strong presence. And I don't know how Argentina will recover or the world, because I know she had fans all over the world. But I had this record that I did after I returned from Argentina that was kind of flippantly called What I Did on My Summer Vacation. And recently we actually packaged it for the first time, and I decided to name it Gracias a la Vida instead, as a tribute to her. And
her most famous song.
Her most famous song, her anthem. And so I'll be doing songs from that. I will also be doing Leonard Cohen. I can't not do Leonard Cohen. And then, of course, the song that I will never tire of singing, no matter, you know, to my last dying day, is Cucurucucu Paloma, which has been sort of my anthem, I think.
Just as important as everything else is the band you play with. You play with some great musicians.
Oh, I do. Todd Robinson on guitar is from Luis Miguel's band. My bass player, Michael Velasquez, is just, you know, one of my dearest friends and a real powerhouse on the bass. Karen Hammack, jazz pianist extraordinaire, has worked with every great that you can think of. And on drums, just off the road from many years on The Lion King, is Pete Korpela, who's actually originally from Finland, and one of the best drummers I have ever seen.
I love reading the names of the musicians that you play with, because they seem to be from all over the place.
I've worked with everybody, yeah, in my life.
Not just Latin.
I'm so fortunate, yes. And that's actually one of the things that I love to do, is take people that don't traditionally play Latin music. I want them to come in and sort of open their eyes to what it is, for a new kind of awakening, and get their take on it. I love other people's take on what they think is the Latin soul or whatever. I mean, sometimes, of course, it doesn't work, but sometimes I feel like they bring a whole new element. Like Cucuruca Cupaloma, my version of it is not traditional at all. And part of that was through many years of playing with people that were not Mexican musicians and did not know the traditional arrangement of that song. I wanted to do anything but the traditional, you know, because you have to make it your own somehow.
There's an amazing Brazilian version of that in one of the Pedro Almodovar films.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that?
Yes, I did.
That was actually the first time I ever heard that song, and so you come into a song like that from any direction.
Yeah, it's just one of those beautiful songs, you know, that I think it's such a great poem, and it says it all in a few words.
Are you working on another disc of...
I actually am. I'm actually working on two discs. One is I'll be doing a concert at Royce Hall in February for Valentine's Day called The Love Show. So I'm going to do... And it's to raise money for this work that I do, this outreach work, which is going to schools that are very poor and have no money left for music programs. And I go with my band, so they get a full concert, and we talk about what we do. We talk about music. We talk about how you can still do it, whether the school is offering it to you or not, to give these kids hope that with music in your life, you know, in a sense, you'll always have a friend. Music can be your friend, and also the language. And I do a lot of work with even kids that are troubled, you know, that are in real trouble, to say that, you know, you always have other options. You don't have to go to that place that will just make your life worse. You can be creative, and you can write a song, and you can do all that. Anyway, since there is no money left in the world for any of this, the Love Record will be devoted to raising funds for these programs, and a lot of them will be love songs that everybody's heard. I mean, traditional standards. It'll be a combination of all kinds of things, you know, love, some originals, but mostly standards, because my husband also has always wanted me to do a record of standards, so this will also be a little anniversary present.
Nice.
For him, since we got married in February. But I'm also doing writing with David Bateau, my beautiful, wonderful songwriting partner, who has written for Bonnie Raitt and Madeleine Peyrou and just all these great artists. Both have roots in Spain. I mean, every Hispanic does, I think. And so we're taking, I took a trip for this summer for a month, and I went to the Alhambra, and I started doing a lot of research on the history, and so did David. And we're writing these stories, little vignettes about the culture and the stories that were born, and also that Spanish culture isn't just Spanish. Like everything else, it's an amalgam of so many other things, of so many other world cultures that you wouldn't even imagine were in there.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, Per la Batalla, it's wonderful to have you here on the show. We're looking forward to your concert tonight at 7 o'clock at the Lenzic. And we're going to go out with Dance Me to the End of Love, which is a Leonard Cohen song on this wonderful disc, and you do a bilingual version of it.
Yes, and a Spanish lyric is written by a dear friend of mine, Alberto Manzana, in Barcelona.
And we're also going to do a ticket giveaway, so the first two people who call 505-428-1382 right now, we'll get a pair of tickets to tonight's concert. So good luck, and Perla, thank you so much for being with
us.
Thank
you. What a pleasure.
pass me through the panic till I'm gathered safely in. Lift me like an olive branch and be my homeward dove. Dance me to the end of love. Dance me to the end of love.
And we are here at the Santa Fe Baking Company with Rob DeWalt sitting in for Robert Knott. He is a staff writer for the Pasatiempo Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe New Mexican. He's also a food writer. That's a nice job if you can get it.
Yeah, it is. Getting paid to eat does not stink.
Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
It's good to be back.
And Bridget Lindquist is here. She's the executive director of the Española Animal Shelter. And when she's here, it's always a good time.
Thank you for having me.
So you've got a big, is it called the Halloween this year?
It's called the Halloween Hootenanny.
We thought
we'd resurrect that Southern term for a party.
Right.
Good gathering, certainly not swanky. Very down to earth, very, you know, earthy. Earthy?
Yeah, you can't have a swanky Hootenanny.
No, you really can't, unless the kiss the pig, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
What? So this is a benefit for the Española Animal Shelter, and there's going to be some serious fun going on. It's at El Museo Cultural, which is in the rail yard. So what's going on?
Well, we're starting at 7 o'clock, and we're featuring...
This is on Saturday night.
On Saturday night. We're featuring a variety of entertainment heretofore never seen in Santa Fe, I'm guessing, including spam carving, and not just any big-o. Drag
spam
bingo.
Spam carving.
You know, it's been too long since spam carving saw the light of Santa Fe. That's right.
I gotta see that.
You gotta see that. I mean, you could...
Are the original uncarved blocks?
They're not that big, but you're able to use as many blocks as you'd like.
You can, hold them together
exactly.
With big wooden skewers.
That's right.
Carve around.
Use pretzels, you know, to kind of... Yeah, that's right. To keep it balanced as you build your castle of spam. That's right.
I just saw the life of, not the life of Brian, the search for the Monty Python and the Holy Grail last
exactly.
night.
Exactly. So if spam carving's not your thing, perhaps you'd want to, you know, toss a cow pie or two. Or maybe participate in karaoke.
Toss a cow pie?
Come on. Where are you from originally? Are you telling me you didn't grow up with that game?
Poughkeepsie.
Well, in Minnesota, especially when it got nice and cold. You didn't want to do it in warm weather months?
No.
That's right. You could toss a cow pie, you know, a good block or so.
So you're going to do it outdoors?
It's a good way to keep your hands warm, too. Oh, you mean dried out? Okay.
Okay, so leaving that aside, kiss the pig.
Yeah, Donia Hatch is graciously volunteering her 3-month-old
truffles.
That's right. Truffles will be there to be kissed.
It's cute.
And the object, actually, is to pay to have someone else kiss the pig. So at the end of the night, the top three donation generators will have the pleasure of knowing truffles in a slightly more intimate way. Slightly.
There are about 300 definitions of the word to know in the Oxford English Dictionary.
Is that right?
Could I just make a suggestion, and that would be that don't let the pigs see the spam. Just
Don't let it happen. We've deliberately kind of put them on opposite ends of the room.
She might get cold feet.
She might. It might chill the whole thing. You're right. Good point. And there's.
Or she might not know. Anyway, let's go on. Drag bingo, karaoke, kiss the pig, haunted RV.
That requires explanation? I don't even know why you're looking at me like that. Come on!
It's a short tour, but it's
exactly.
It's a scary,
it's a scary one. That's right. You wait till you see what's in the bathroom.
Oh, no.
This is all. You're trying to get people to go to this thing.
I am. And would you believe that we're even having it catered by Furs? I mean,
Furs cafeteria.
Yeah.
They have the best fried chicken.
What a coincidence! That's what we're having.
Oh.
Gosh. And they have pretty dang good mashed potatoes and gravy, too, I might add. Yeah. There's this pistachio fluff thing. I just have to go back for fourths and fifths every time I'm there. Not that I'm there every
day.
Week.
Bridget Lindquist is from the Española Valley Humane
Close.
Society.
Close.
And the event is in Santa Fe, you can imagine my confusion.
Absolutely.
And people can just show up at 7 o'clock or later on Saturday night. And That sounds like so much fun.
You know, we're trying to reflect the fact that there's a recession in place, and you really, fun should not be something that's difficult to afford.
That's right.
So you come and have a good time. It's entertainment-based. It's not sit-down. It's certainly not stodgy. And I guarantee you at least half the events you've never tried before. So come with the spirit of, you know, open-mindedness.
Yeah, I mean, karaoke's the only one that even looked vaguely familiar.
And by the way, at 10 o'clock, we convert it into a traditional dance. We have this L.A.-based DJ Tattooey who's coming, and we're just opening up the floor. So anyone who says, oh, that's a little too adventurous for me, then come attend.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we will see you then, Bridget Lindquist. It's great to have you back, as always, and please come again soon and have a great Halloween hootenanny.
Thanks, Mary Charlotte.
We're going to take another quick break right now. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned. And now we're back with Rob DeWalt to find out what's going on this weekend besides the Halloween hootenanny.
I'm still stuck on the spam carving. I got to check it out. I have to check it out.
Yeah, it sounds like a wonderful, great time. By the way, the tickets are gone. Those who called, thank you so much for calling for Per La Batalla. So that's something that's happening tonight. Big event.
Yeah.
At the Lenzic.
That was a great interview, and her voice, oh my God.
What a voice, that Leonard Cohen song. I just love the range of musical genres that she covers. But not to be outdone, also tonight, Rahim Alhaj, Zuleika, Origin, Heart Streaming at the Armory for the Arts. That should be another amazing concert and event.
Absolutely. There is a lot going on.
Rahim Alhaj, master oud player. Zuleika, story dancer. We had her on the air a couple of days ago as well.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And anything, I'm stepping on your toes. Anything Goes is also happening. Started open last night and happening at Warehouse 21. The classic musical updated for the 21st century.
I did it in high school here in Santa Fe, and I plan on going hopefully this weekend to check it out. It's a great show.
It's a great show.
Actually,
I don't know how updated it is.
The production that we did at Santa Fe Prep, the female lead is actually the wife of the guy who makes the crystal meth on that TV show Breaking Bad now. Isn't that weird?
That's slightly disturbing.
Well, you know, anything goes.
I guess. So what else is happening this
There's
weekend?
A lot of stuff going on. You know, this is like, I think we did this actually last year exactly at the same time a week before my birthday. On the 29th, I turned 40 years old.
Yay!
And
that's
on the 29th,
a good age.
There's some cool stuff going on the 29th at the Santa Fe Community College. A couple of things that I want to tell you about. The pre-Halloween safe trick-or-treating alternative. I mean, this is for kids, but there's other stuff going on. There's going to be a photo booth, and there's going to be activities, face painting. There's going to be a ghost walk. And that's from 3 to 6 p.m. on Thursday, October 29th, out there at the Community College. On the same day at the Community College, the third-level international cooking culinary school course, their class, is going to be holding their final sort of competition and sort of celebration, sort of thank you to everyone. And you can show up there. I think I wrote a little piece about it last Wednesday that you show up at 1:30, but I think they're actually judging the competition later in the day. But, you know, these guys are churning out a lot of great talent that fills the restaurants in Santa Fe, and it's a great way to support them, at the end of their class.
Excellent.
And somebody, you know, walks away. Well, they all walk away winners, but somebody walks away with bragging rights anyway. So that's at the Santa Fe Community College. I think it's room 409, which is in the main building towards the back near the cafeteria and all that good junk. And go and check it out. And it's free.
Free is good.
So
speaking of free, Margaret Moore Booker, the Santa Fe House, Historic Residences, Enchanting Adobes, and Romantic Revivals, tonight from 6 to 8 at Collected Works Bookstore. And this is a book that I expected to be just a nice, pretty coffee table book, but it's really good. The stories and text in it are good, too.
Really?
Uh-huh.
I like pictures. Picture books are nice.
Yeah, they're pretty.
The Valiant Return of Ken Valdez, a blues and rock mainstay in Santa Fe for years. He's who now lives in Minnesota, I believe. And he's coming back. He's got a couple of gigs coming up on Friday tonight, the 23rd. He's playing at Corazon at 9 p.m. And then he's got a Thursday gig on the 29th at the Tin Star Saloon. This is a welcome him back, and if he owes you money, you can show up and collect. So
there we have it.
Right. Also on Friday, New Mexico History Museum exhibit lecture, the closing lecture for the exhibit Through the Lens, Creating Santa Fe, by Chris Wilson, the University of New Mexico's J.B. Jackson Professor of Cultural Landscape Studies. That's a new one on me. From 6 to 7 p.m. this evening, there's a story about it in today's Pasatiempo, and that's at the New Mexico History Museum.
And that's a great exhibition that's been going on for a really long time, and I can't believe it's closing. I think I'm going to have to go see it today or tomorrow
It's sort of a last chance.
It's a great exhibit. It's all these photographs of Santa Fe, and it's a lot of unexpected images.
Yeah. And a lot of unexpected photographers. People's names tied to that exhibit that I didn't even know did photography in this town are in it.
Tuesday, October 27th, poetry reading also at Collected Works Bookstore with Sherwin Bitsui and D.G. Nanook Opik at 6 o'clock. Some Native American poetry from the Southwest.
Great. Oh, Robert wanted me to
actually, D.J. Nanook Opik is from Alaska.
Oh, he's from Alaska.
Yeah, Sherwin is from Arizona.
Wow.
Indeed.
Both of the A's. We have Robert Knott wanted me to mention he's sequestered. I can't tell you where he is, but he's doing something really exciting in southern New Mexico right now, and you hear about it next week.
That's sort of Halloween focused.
It's Halloween-y, and we wish him safe journeys and travels and all that good stuff. And that's all I'm going to say.
Close Encounters with Ghosts.
I'm keeping it to myself.
Mm-hmm.
Santa Fe High Demon Theater presents the world premiere. Actually, the world premiere was actually on the 22nd, but there's shows on the 22nd, 24th, 29th, 30th, and 31st. The play is called The Seventh Event, and it's written and directed by Joey A. Chavez and Ian Way. Now, check out this plot. First of all, it may be too mature for children under the age of 12. The show takes a frightening look at corporate greed. How timely. And manipulation of the most innocent. We're working in the spirit of Halloween to present a play which will keep you at the edge of your seat as the entire audience is thrust into this dark and sinister world. I'm pretty sure the script supervisor was AIG. Tickets, they cost tickets. If you call 467-2970, you can get some reservations. Obviously, it's happening at Santa Fe High. What else is going on? The Food Depot tonight is having a storytelling fundraiser with appearances by Santa Fe storytellers Mary Ellen Gonzalez, Cynthia Dobson, Betty Grant, and Roxanne Seagraves. That's from 6 to 8 p.m. at Zia United Methodist Church. Donations for the Food Depot, which is Northern New Mexico's food bank, are greatly appreciated. You can get more info by calling 471-1633, extension 13.
So check this out on a completely not arts-related thing. Lone Mountain Ranch near Golden, New Mexico is ending its quarter horse Arab breeding program and making horses available for good homes. There are some all kinds of horses, and there's a group viewing this coming weekend, the 25th. What is that? Sunday, I guess. If you're interested in being on the list of potential adopters, you can give a call, and let's see. The local number seems to be Margaret at 466-1714.
Awesome.
Oh, and I have one more thing. My neighbor is giving away this cute little brown and white Shih Tzu. It's the cutest little dog. I forget. I think his name is Gigi. I can't remember what his name is, but it's just a sweet little kind of lap dog. It loves to walk. It's cute. It's friendly. And she can't keep it. And so If anybody wants just a cute little dog, she said she's only going to give it to the right adopter. It has to be somebody who has time on their hands and really wants a dog and isn't going to leave it alone all that much.
Someone that isn't just going to go to work and not pay attention to
it. Yeah, exactly. And so if you are interested in that dog, you can just email me at radiocafe@ksfr.org, and then I will make the contact.
That's sweet. Give the dog a home.
Not to mention the Espanola Valley Animal Shelter and the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society and Small Dog Rescue and all these other wonderful dog adoption institutions and felines and friends.
Isn't there some sort of dog-related thing going on this weekend, too? I could have sworn. If I can find it, I'll mention. Oh, the Tekatu 15th Anniversary Celebration and Fundraiser.
Yes.
The Pet Boutique is hosting on Saturday at 6:30 p.m., a masquerade gala and silent auction to benefit Bridging the World's Animal Sanctuary.
I'm glad you read that.
Food by Pronzo Italian Grill and Whole Foods. There's going to be live gypsy music, a raffle, and giveaways. You get tickets. Of course, Tekatu is in San Busco Center, I believe. If you call 982-9374, you can get tickets and more information on that event.
And you can go to that and the Halloween Hootenanny.
And the Halloween Hootenanny.
You can go to both. You'll be in the neighborhood, and there's enough time.
Well, that's right, because basically, if you go after 10 p.m., it's the dance. So you can go and hit one, or
exactly.
you can do both.
The Book Fiesta at Clear Light Bookstore is this Saturday, the 24th, and there's 30 authors, and it's going from 10 to 4 in the afternoon. We've had a couple of the authors on the air, Pamela Christie and Margaret Moore Booker also, and many, many others will be there, and it should be really fun. Clear Light Book Gallery is on San Mateo, at 851 San Mateo. It used to be the Open Hands Thrift Store.
I have to tell you about this lecture, A, because I love the title, and B, because I love what's on this guy's bio. It's on Thursday the 29th. It's a School for Advanced Research Indian Arts Research Speaker Series lecture. It's called Indians in Space, Curating Media Art by Indigenous Artists.
Nice.
And Stephen Loft, who's the Aboriginal Curator in Residence at the National Gallery of Canada, is going to be talking at 5:30 p.m. in the SAR Boardroom at 660 Garcia Street. Now check it out. If you go to the SAR website, you can check this guy's bio out. At the very bottom it says, he promises to be as pompous and self-important in person as his bio makes him out to be. I believe that's self-written. I believe he was being self-deprecating. Steve Martin's coming to town.
I love it.
I love Steve Martin. Did you know I used to live in his house here in Santa Fe?
Oh, really? Can I touch your left hand with my pinky?
No. That's
please.
No. That's my spam carving finger.
All right.
I don't want anything to happen to it. Steve Martin is going to be in town, performing with the Steep Canyon Rangers, a bunch of bluegrass. He's quite a picker, actually.
He's a banjo picker.
I know. He's been doing it for 45 years.
It's a long time.
7:30 p.m. on Sunday, October 25th at the Lenzik Performing Arts Center. Give him a call over there at 988-1234 or visit him at ticketsantafe.org to get tickets for that show. And the last I heard, there was like 100 tickets left, so they're going fast.
Wow.
Yeah.
Craig Barjabedian did a wonderful exhibition of photographs of Ghost Ranch. Well, he did a wonderful book of photographs of Ghost Ranch in that area, black and white photographs, and they're going to be at the Gerald Peters Gallery opening tonight and running for a long time through the very beginning of January. That's at the Gerald Peters Gallery here in Santa Fe.
And let's see, contrary to what it says on the Ethnosphere website, they are having a music festival. On the 24th, on Saturday, from 5 to 11 p.m., the Mayamundi Music Festival, which includes Argentine Tango, Afrograss, which I've never heard of, but that sounds interesting.
That's very interesting.
Cuban music, Balkan Brass Band, and a special musical guest to be announced, Food by Lucky Barbecue. That's 5 to 11 p.m. at Wildmaker Studio on Saturday, 1235 Siler Road, Suite A. You get a discount if you're a senior, a student, a family. If you are unemployed or if you are an Iraq War veteran, if you call 913-0426, you can get details on tickets and stuff like that.
So basically it's discriminating against affluent
Vietnam
single people.
And Vietnam vets. And let's see.
Hey, here's something at the CCA tomorrow at 8 in the evening. The Process presents Words of Advice, William Burroughs on the Road. It's a Danish documentary focusing on the last years of iconoclastic author of Naked Lunch and The Western Lands, William Burroughs, and it's based on never-before-seen footage of his visit to Denmark in 1983 and his later touring years as a spoken word performer and so on. And it promises to be, if you're even remotely a William Burroughs fan, an absolutely must-see film.
I know. I had planned to go to that, but I'm going to be too busy. There's so many people at work that are excited to see that film. I think it's only the third time it's been shown.
Yeah.
So it's a treat to have it here in Santa Fe.
No, it's an incredibly major event, and it's kind of I don't know how many people know about it. So if you're a William Burroughs fan, cancel all your plans and then go to the Hootenanny afterwards.
I'm afraid if I cancel my plans, I'll be out of work.
Well, then don't do that.
But let's see. Midori. The 27th.
Yes.
On Tuesday the 27th, the violinist is in performance with pianist Robert McDonald. Music of Bach, Brahms, Defalla,
Defaya.
Defaya, that's what I thought.
Hindemith.
And others. 7:30 p.m. on Tuesday, the 27th at the Lenzic. Let's see, there's discounts available for students. If you call the Lenzic box office at 988-1234, they will hook you up. It's the cover story on Pasta Tiempo this week.
Let's Most see. Excellent.
What else?
And today at 12:45 from 11 to 12:45, okay, this is really soon, East meets West, Bamboo meets Adobe, seven Japanese participants from the International Scholarship and Training Program as part of the Santa Fe Council on International Relations are coming to Santa Fe to explore historic townscape. I don't know if this is a... not sure this is actually a public event that would be that much fun to go to. But anyway, the Council on International Relations does incredible stuff, and it has visitors from all over the world who are amazing people. Mm-hmm. Occasionally we get them on the air here, but it's a State Department program that just brings kind of... interesting and active community people, whether they be journalists or activists or whatever, doing things, and they come to the United States and come to Santa Fe and all sorts of other places and learn how we do things.
Yeah, the CIR does a lot of great stuff in terms of the Israeli-Palestine conflict, and it's always fairly interesting speakers.
Hey, what about Moving People Dance performance?
That's right. There's a couple of them this week, I think.
It's tonight and tomorrow at 7:30 at 1583 Pacheco Street, Suite 2. There is a suggested donation, and it's a benefit program for their benefit performance for their educational programs. And there is a dancer on the picture of on the poster that they sent me who is, you know how when you watch the Olympics and the gymnasts do things that can't be done?
Uh-huh.
It kind of looks like that. Mm,
it's hard to watch because I'm like... Annapurna has this bi-monthly... sort of DJ set by Audio Buddha, a.k.a. Steve Brisk. He spins all over town, but he was a big hit at Pride last year. Audio Buddha, this chill beats with DJ Steve Brisk. It's from 6 to 9 p.m. It's a pay-what-you-wish event, so go check it out.
I can't believe it's almost time to go.
I know.
One more thing. Let's see. The New Mexico Environmental Law Center Southwest Seminars on the 26th is doing a lecture called Mother Earth, Father Sky. And it's a geologist's... What is it? A geologist's look at ancient landscapes of the Colorado Plateau. For more information, you can call the New Mexico Environmental Law Center. And, oh goodness. Anyway, Rob DeWalt, it's wonderful to have you on the air, as usual.
Wonderful to be back.
And you will be here. Will you be here with us with Robert Knott this weekend?
Yes, we are doing a Bob-a-palooza next week. So there will be two of us.
Two Roberts will be with us, Robert Knott and Robert DeWalt. So you've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. I'm Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org. You can reach me at radiocafe@ksfr.org, especially if you want that cute little doggy. And, by the way, on Camp Love Wave tomorrow, Taryn interviews four experts on 9/11. And what else? Well, Rob DeWalt, have a wonderful weekend.
I will.
A little early
too.
To say happy Halloween. Thanks to Mary Lynn for engineering today. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. After that, jazz a la carta. Be happy. Have a great weekend. Hasta la vista, baby.
Bye.
Ciao.